America, or wherever you may be watching or listening from around the world. This is the Private Investigator Experience Podcast, and I'm your host, Phil Little. This is one of the most important reports from a deep dive investigation that I have done. Without being melodramatic, I believe the future of our republic is at risk. And unfortunately, the start of that demise started over 150 years ago. It wasn't just something recent. One of the questions that led me to this investigation was, how did this happen when there were so many God-fearing, freedom-loving Americans who were much closer to the founding of our experiment back 150 plus years ago that allowed this destruction to happen, starting with the education of our children? We're going to go back to even before the founding of our country, to 1620. We're going to be looking at that first Mayflower trip. If this is your first time with me, I'm old West Coast Detectives International, a 102-year-old global security firm. I work my cases and all the investigations I do through the lens of my military, law enforcement, intelligence service, and global security background. Then I add just a touch of my biblical worldview to come up with a solution. On this podcast, we normally look at the life and cases of a PI, look at events around the world that might affect us here at home, and talk about issues that are of importance to us all. With the events of the last few years and the rise of violence and the political discourse within our country, this has led to a sharp rise in crime of all types, the justice system breaking down, and in effect, we've been dealing with it. Several months ago, I started this deep dive investigation into, why is this happening? And did this have a recent history? Or did it go deeper than the last few years? I knew a little bit about the founding of our country and the history of our founders from my early schooling. But it appears that history has been revised to teach our young people a distorted and untrue view of the history of our republic. As I dug deeper into the origins of this revisionist work, I discovered that even before I was in grade school, that was over 70 years ago, the building to erase the truth of our starting of this American experiment was underway. Keep in mind the date 1859. We'll talk about that later. As I searched for facts surrounding our republic, I was exposed to a documentary called The Truth Project, filmed back in 2006 by Focus on the Family. By watching it, you could believe that that was just formed in the last few months, because it was so appropriate to what's going on right now. Their research reviewed the founding documents, speeches, letters by the founders, and built a profile on the key founders. These profiles prove the thought process, the mindset, and the reason why the founders came to America to set up this new experiment. Everything I'm sharing is available to those who will look, and it's documented by the government and historical archives where the originals are stored. The Truth Project dealt with all areas of our government: current, educational, university system, schooling, economic, and all those areas. And it had one series that was about the American experiment and the founding of our country and the mindset of the founders. And that led me to what I'm sharing in the next several posts. I will keep them shorter for ease of listening or viewing. And I encourage you, if you get one later on, to go back and start with this one, number one. Where and when did all this slide begin? What was a mindset that led the pilgrims on a long journey on a wood ship, a big boat, whatever you want to call it, across a rough ocean with unknown perils around every wave? And how long was this before July the 4th, 1776? Let's go back and review the Mayflower Compact. Just picture a ship with people gathered around sitting on the deck. Definitely not the features of a cruise carrier today that we might be going on with all the amenities. Very, very rudimentary, I think we could say. And here's what they were thinking. This was taken from what they wrote, and it's been documented and available. I quote, "We whose names are underwritten have undertaken," now listen to this, "for the glory of God, not to create a new country for England's sake or somebody else's benefit, financial return, but for the glory of God, an advancement of the Christian faith, a voyage to plant the first colony." That's where the founding originally started, of the Americas, a Christian nation. And then even in the Constitution of the New England Confederation of States before the founding of our official founding with the Declaration of Independence, part of their Constitution, and I quote, "Whereas we all came to these parts of America with the same end and aim, to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's what they were thinking. "And to enjoy the liberties of the gospel thereof with purities and peace, and for the preserving and propitiating the truth and liberties of the gospel." And in their mindset, they were leaving a country, England, run by a king, totalitarian government, that wanted to control how they worship. They were getting mainly away from there so they could have freedom of religion. The documents exist to back up these statements and show the real intent of our founding fathers. Way before the Declaration of the Independence of our Constitution, there was several years that went on while they worked to get to the place where they formed this Declaration of Independence. How have things gone so long to where we are today? First, I want to lay some ground rules for this post. I'm not seeking to deify America or deify the founding fathers. And the American experiment is likely to fail altogether if we do not take intentional and deliberate steps to salvage it. And this task falls primarily on the shoulders of Christian people, God-fearing people. As believers, we need to remember God's call to prayer and repentance in 2 Chronicles 7:13 and 14, which says, "If my people, who are called by my name, will confess their sins and repent, turn from their wicked ways, then it'll come and heal their land." There's nothing to be gained by casting blame on non-Christians for what's going on in our country. Having established these guidelines, there are compelling reasons for giving special attention to the subject of this study. The American experiment has the potential of being unusual, conducive to a deeper understanding of God's design for the state, precisely because it is unique in the history of our world. There's never been a country like the United States of America. Here on these shores and here alone, people with a strong Christian worldview have been afforded an unparalleled opportunity to create from scratch what they considered an ideal system of government, a system designed to carefully conform to a biblical worldview where all people were really free. Remember, there are all kinds of countries. There's Muslim countries, Hindu countries, there's other forms of religion, Buddhists, and it's okay for them to have a country that is only their religion. But why can't we have a Christian nation? And remember this, my friends, even if you're an atheist, don't believe in God or of another religion, the Bible says when a righteous man or woman is in power, the citizens don't have anything to fear. So if you don't believe in God, you're not going to be punished by that. Some religions, if you don't believe in their religion, they feel they have a right to kill you if you won't change to their way of thinking. None of that will happen. You'll be given the freedom to live out your life as long as you don't commit criminal acts or illegal acts, and you live under the laws of the land, you can worship or not worship. That's the freedom that our country has and another country has. On these shores, And here alone, people with a strong Christian worldview have been afforded an unparalleled opportunity to create from scratch what they considered an ideal system of government. A system designed to carefully conform to a biblical worldview where all people were really free. They were fleeing a totalitarian government ruled by a king who didn't care what they thought or who they wanted to worship or win. It's where we are at today, well on the road to completely removing God from our country. Is this a recent effort or does it go back further? From the first Mayflower Compact in 1620 to about 1859, the experiment had flourished and grown under the founders' Christian worldview. Some of the founders were not Christian, but they all had a faith in God or believed in God. They weren't atheists. And they had a more of a biblical worldview, which guided their agreement on the pillars of the Constitution. Some facts on the first pilgrims arriving in 1620 to 1776. A little bit of information here. Probably you don't know this, because I didn't. The number one best-selling book in the colonies after that 1620 years up to 1776 was the Bible. Well, what was the second best-selling book? The New England Primer. This was a little book, and you can get them online. They're still available, which probably you haven't heard about, like me. This was a book that the schools used to teach the first grade children to read. It used scripture and stories from the Bible with the list of the ABCs. That was used for first 150 years or so until people came along and thought they knew better than to have biblical teaching. Spiritual lessons, the Ten Commandments, doing what's right, treating others right, not stealing, not being dishonest. One of the lessons for the children, and I quote from this book, pray to God, love God, fear God, serve God, take not God's name in vain, do not steal, do not cheat, tell no lies, speak the truth, strive to learn. This is just a few of the things that our kindergarten first graders were taught. A great foundation, if you ask me. Here are some of the thoughts that the founders had about how we should teach our children. One, Samuel Adams, a name you probably know, is one of those around our founding and the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. October the 4th, 1790, he writes, and I quote, "Writings and philosophers, statesmen and patriots unite their endeavors to renovate the age by impressing the minds of men with the importance," listen to this, "of educating their little boys and girls, of inoculating the minds of youth with the fear and love of God, in short, of leading them in the study and practice of the exalted views of the Christian system." How does that line up with today? Article 3 of the Confederate Union Constitution, July 13, 1787, I quote, "Religion, morality, knowledge, being necessary to good government," well, what's necessary to good government? Religion, morality, and knowledge, "and the happiness of mankind, schools, and the means of education shall forever be encouraged for the young people to remember this, to teach them Christian principles." And this is not about having a state religion. This is not what the fathers, our founding fathers, thought, did, or even set up. That term, division of religion and state, is not even part of any of that. This is something later on somebody come up with. There was uniform thought across the discussions of the founders when they would come to meet. They would start with prayer for divine guidance. Then in Patrick Henry, which is another name that most of us should be aware of as part of those early founding fathers, I quote, Now listen to this. What makes our nation invincible? Our military? Our Air Force? Our intelligence? Our knowledge? No, this is what Patrick Henry thought. The great pillars of all government and social life are virtue, morality, and religion. This is the armor, and this alone is what renders us invincible. Might we take a look and think about this and look at our weakness today and what's going on in the world? Why can't we, as I said, have a Christian nation? There are all these other nations that are religious and they're very strict. And in many of these places, Christians are persecuted and killed. The only place you won't be persecuted and killed for your religion is in the United States of America. As I mentioned, when a righteous man or woman is in power, you don't have to worry about your freedoms. The founders of the American experiment weren't trying to build a government which controlled religion, but the one who fulfilled the will of the people with Christian principles. In other words, the government stayed out of the lives of the citizens. And let's look at another proof of the Christian nature of our country. And I'm going to be coming to an end here, and I'm going to be dealing with many more facts in the next post. Our first university, Harvard University. We've been hearing a lot about that recently, Emily, with what's been going on. And picture the president of the Harvard University, which was before Congress, and see how this adds up. This is from the rules and precepts of Harvard's founding and manual in 1636. I quote, "Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies." And what is that? According to Harvard, it was to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, John 17:3. And therefore, lay Christ at the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning. My friends, that was the Harvard way of teaching when Harvard was founded by righteous men who were following the biblical worldview. Look at it and think about it today, and we'll look at more of that later. The motto of Harvard, which was written in their university and writings, but also in their buildings, truth for Christ and the church. That was the motto. Well, today, they've taken all that out and just leave truth as their motto, even though I don't think they know really what that means. In the next segment, we'll look at more facts about our founding fathers and more schools and which use Christian biblical teachings, more of our leaders and what they really thought. Now, they all, like I said, were professing Christian people, but they all believed in God, and they all had a common understanding of the Bible, and the principles of the Bible would give a solid foundation for a country. The founders that I read about were very concerned that the future generations would stray from the Christian perspective and fall under totalitarian rule like the one they had risked everything, and many gave their lives to build that they escaped from. My prayer and hope that many of you will wake up, step out of the crowd, and do your own research and speak out against the destruction of our education system and the hijacking of our young people's minds. Would you help me by liking, sharing, subscribing? And you know the drill, hit that notification bell so you'll know about future posts. Please leave any comments or questions on any of the platforms, or you can email me at plittlepi777@gmail.com. If you have an issue in your family or business that you would like to see if a PI can help you with, send me the information and to my email at plittlepi777@gmail.com, and I will respond to you. Be on the lookout for part 2 coming out soon as we look further in to the founding of this great American experiment and how we're going to save it from disaster. Until next time, be safe. May God bless you, your family, and may God bless America. Will you stand with me?